Most farmers in this country get a huge part of their income from the Common Agriculture Policy. So what happens to them when we leave the EU? Should they worry? A report by the think tank Policy Exchange says no, leaving the CAP offers a chance to reshape our whole approach to the environment and agriculture, and they will benefit from it. Well, Warren Lightfoot's the Director of Research at Policy Exchange, and he's with me, and Tim Breitmeyer is a farmer, arable farmer, from East Anglia. He's Deputy President of the Country and Landowners Association. Warren Lightfoot, this new approach would mean what?
I think that the starting point has got to be that the least successful policy in Europe has been the Common Agricultural Policy from all sorts of perspectives.
Massively expensive.
Massively expensive, poor for consumers, poor for trade, and very, very distorting in all sorts of ways. So you would start out from first principles thinking, well, how all countries have a farm policy of one kind or another. How do you have a farm policy that works? And the starting point, I think, should be identifying with the consumer, putting the consumer at the heart of it, and trying to get back to an approximation of UK food prices being closer to world food prices. Now, back in 1973, our food prices were quite close to world food prices. And in fact, the government at that time said each year, year on year, for about 6 years, food prices would go up by 2.5%. And that's around 15%. And today, food prices are about 15-18% above world food prices. And that's because we have very high tariffs that make sure that producers in the UK and Europe are protected from...
I was going to say, it's protectionist is what you're talking about.
Exactly. And I think the first step is to actually move to a system where consumers can buy anything they want, providing it's safe, around the world at a price and quality that suits them.
Right.
And that's one part of it.
All right. Well, don't move on from that, because let me just put that first to Tim Breitmeyer and see whether there's any meeting of minds here. Do you accept that basic point, Tim Breitmeyer?
I certainly accept the fact that the Common Agricultural Policy was a policy designed for 27 countries, and we have a unique chance now to make a policy, I think, that is much better, both for farmers and for the consumers going forward. We have to face the fact, though, that we have lived in a marketplace for 40 years that has asked us to abide by regulation and animal health and welfare standards, all of which have a cost attached to them. And so to move away from that market that we have had for that period of time is going to take time, and I think a headlong dash to free tariff trade will produce significant problems for the farming industry in this country in the short term.
Right. Warren Lightfoot?
I have every sympathy for that. We have moved over some 43 years, not to a market, but to an artificially distorted and regulated agriculture and food sector, and it's going to take time to move on. One of the things one has to bear in mind, farmers, on average, are in their late 50s and their early 60s. People have made decisions in recent years reflecting the current range of subsidies and opportunities they've got, and you can't just write that over 2 years or 3 years.
Right.
You will have to phase it, you will have to implement it, and we can do that.
Some agreement on that. Now, the other point you make is that we should not give subsidy based simply on the size of land owned.
Yes. I mean, I think we've got to think, what sort of subsidies do we want to actually give to land, to agriculture, and what sort of things are we trying to achieve from that? Now, before we went into Europe, we had a very effective deficiency payment regime. Economically, it was very effective. It had very different objectives from the sorts of things we'd want to pursue today. And we've got to think, given the objectives we would like to get out of a farm subsidy programme, what would we actually shape it around? And probably it's around public goods, it's around what a landscape might look like, and it's around environmental objectives. The other difficulty we have got to fess up to is that farm policy largely transfers money to large businesses and large high-income agricultural estates. So roughly, there are different ways you can present the figures, but roughly 80% of it goes to the top 20% of farm businesses by income.
Right.
Now, some 39 farming businesses get a transfer payment of £1 million a year, while in the meantime, your average farmer is on £25,000, or, for example, I was speaking to the Welsh farmers at Blewett Wells at the Royal Agricultural Welsh Show. Their average farmers will be getting something more like 15 grand.
Right. And Tim Breitmeyer, your view on that?
We have some similar views to Warwick. We have a sort of three-pronged approach, which would say that we certainly need to put significant investment into British farming, perhaps in a more targeted way going forward.
It's the disparity, though. That's the important point he's making. The big landowners are doing terribly, terribly well. The small guys are not.
The big landowners produce significant return and benefit to the public for the subsidy they get, both in terms of looking after our strategic food production capability through good agricultural condition for the land, and also the environmental goods that they do produce.
And the reaction to that, as you very well know, is going to be, they're just greedy, they want to keep the honeypot.
And which is why we clearly see that we have to move this policy onto a new level, whereby you have a direct payment, which is effectively for the provision of services to society, and however big you are, it is not whether it's big or small, it's the amount of benefit that you produce to society, which in turn should be rewarded for all those non-market goods that don't get any form of repayment that currently landowners produce.
Well, this debate is going to go on for a very long time. Tim Breitmeyer and Warwick Lightfoot, thank you both very much.